Thank you all for joining us. This is NCPA, and my name is Barbara Hayward. I am the Vice President of Program Development, and I have Bree Morris, who is our Director of Strategic Initiatives. And we have the great pleasure of having some terrific folks with us on the phone today to talk about issues, I think, that are important in all community pharmacies, which is engaging your staff and staff relations and how to get the best out of your people and to get them to be a part of that team. So on the phone, we have Rebecca Holt and Travis Hickok of Holt's Pharmacy in Tooele, Utah. They have a single store. They've been open 3 years. And we also have Max Caldwell, Caldwell Discount Drug, in Wynn, Arkansas. Max has one store, and he's been open for 30 years. So I'm going to just roll out a question and ask kind of for your response to it from both of you all, or both stores, and then Bree will come in with the next question. So the question that I have to ask is, how is it that you get your staff to embrace a new program that you're bringing into the pharmacy and to get them on board?
We'll take it first, if that's okay. This is Travis speaking. For us, when we're trying to implement a new thing, we always go to what our end goal is with that, and we try to share that with the staff, and we also share why we're doing it. And we found that if we can do that, a lot of times it helps get them on board, but even with that, sometimes there'll be people that are hesitant to try it, and so we present in a way where they know it's just like a two-week trial. We're going to try this for 2 weeks. If it doesn't work, we'll go back to the old way, but we're hoping to improve your lives and make things easier for you. And we found that if we can kind of show them that it's an easy thing to undo, they're more likely to try things and be on board with us.
Yeah, we like to call it the puppy dog approach.
Excellent. Max.
Yeah, we do the same way. We get our staff together and walk them through the stages of what we're wanting to do and our end stage of where we want to go to. Once we can get them to buy into it and see the advantages of what we're trying to do to basically save them time or some steps that they don't have to do and make the workflow smoother, then we put it in place. And knowing that there's some changes that can be made as far as fine-tuning the program between the start and the stop, even though we put it in on a Monday, that doesn't mean that it can't change on Tuesday a little bit to make the workflow go better for everybody. And that's the way we do it here at Caldwell Pharmacy.
I think that's an important point, too, that flexibility of being able to make those adjustments, because nothing works perfectly like you have in your mind at the get-go. And so having the staff know that it's probably not going to be perfect and we're going to have to make some adjustments, I think is really important.
And also getting the employees' input back that will make it easier. Even though we're pharmacists and we think a program is going to go smooth out front, until you walk through the steps, 1, 2, 3, 4, you don't know if those steps are going to be smooth or not. And once they get their input to make their system work easier, then they know that we're willing to make those changes, makes the change a whole lot easier for them to accept and for us to put into the workflow.
For sure. I couldn't agree more. The feedback is essential. It's a step that gets overlooked a lot.
That's great, guys. Thank you so much for sharing. This is Bree. How do you, Rebecca and Travis, how have you found that's the best way to communicate with your staff?
So we do a couple of things. We like to do a quarterly meeting, and we aren't particularly too fond of a lot of meetings, so that's why it's quarterly. But the best way that we have found is we have full-time employees and part-time. And so what we'll do is the full-time employees all work on the same day, at least one day a week. And so we'll have little meetings if something needs to be discussed in between the quarterly meetings on new processes that we would like to implement. And then each one of the full-time employees is in charge of communicating with a specific part-time employee. And so we pick them out so everybody knows the name of the person they're reaching out to, and then that's how we get things implemented.
That's great. And Max, what about you? Do you guys have regular staff meetings, or do you just meet when projects or changes come up?
Well, staff meetings are kind of a problem for us due to the fact that we're on two different shifts. We're open from 8:30 in the morning until 7 at night, so we have a split shift. And what we like to do is to either meet on a Monday or Friday and neither one of those days are very kind to us because we're always busy those days. But we try to do it either early in the morning, and that way people don't have to stay past 7 o'clock all the time, or we'll alternate it with a 7 o'clock meeting. And even though what we try to do, we have some of our employees that live several miles away from the store, so we'll try and get it where they don't have to come back into town on a special trip just for the meeting. And then we'll try to do it every, you know, 3 or 4 months, especially if something comes up, we'll call a meeting. But that's the way we do it here.
Terrific. So have either of you all worked with incentivizing for programs for training or for signing up customers or anything of that nature? If you have, how has that worked out for you, and what have you used that's been effective?
So we're still experimenting a lot with that. We don't have anything we're completely sold on, but we've tried random bonuses and trying to tie things to the efforts that people put in. But our honest feedback there is we don't have something that works really well. We're still kind of searching and looking for a good solution there.
This wasn't our idea. We were at a conference, and another owner mentioned that what she does is something called phantom shares for her company. And so we wanted to reach out to her, talk to her. We thought that was an incredible idea, and she incentivized through doing these phantom shares. So that was a really interesting thought that we wanted to test with once we figure out how to exactly implement it.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the phantom share? What's that idea?
Yeah, so the idea they have is basically like people that own shares in a company take on an ownership role. And so they wouldn't be true shares of the company. It'd be kind of just, that's why she calls them phantom shares. And then every, I think, quarter she gets together with the staff, and then they allocate the shares. And then they look at the numbers as far as, you know, the controlling costs and increasing sales. And then they get a percentage that goes down to each one of the people that has those shares. So it's kind of like having ownership in the company without having ownership in the company. And I think there's issues with that, but at the same time, it changes the mentality of the staff to being owners of the business rather than just someone that works for the business. That's why we like the idea.
Max, how about you?
We do two or three different ways. What I like to do if the staff is participating in a new program or just due to the fact that they're working hard and you want to congratulate them or incentivize them. And what we do a lot is we'll take them out to eat lunch. We'll take on our split shift. We'll take the ones that have the late lunch that day. That way, if our lunch hour is a little over an hour, then you don't have the other half of the store waiting to go to lunch. So we always take the late shift, go out kind of one-on-one with them. There's probably four clerks that will go out with us at one time. And I split it up between the clerks and then the techs, where the clerks will be talking about an issue that concerns everybody at lunch, and some of the techs don't feel like all that conversation is not really relevant to us. So I'll take the clerks out and have four clerks and sitting down eating lunch, and they like to go out. They like that companionship there and let them know that they have a feeling that we're interested in what they say, and which we do. We are interested in what they say, but it gives them that feeling that, hey, I am appreciated and my input plays a big part of the store. And that's the way we do the lunches. Or at dinner, if everybody wants to go out at one time, that way you get the whole staff out as far as the clerks go or the technicians, that we can take them out and eat dinner with them. The other way is, you know, the clerks normally don't get paid a lot. They're probably the least paid people in the store. And so when we go out with a project like our MedSync program, then I will, if they pay or if they add names to the people that we synchronize, and I will give them an incentive per name that they add to the program. And that's a big benefit to us. That's how we really raised our numbers to where they're at today, is because the incentive there to go out and add names. And it's kind of a contest between them. Hey, you know, I got 20 names. How many did you get? So it's not so much really helping us a lot, which they are, but it's kind of a little competition. And it's friendly competition between them, you know, laughing and joking. Hey, I'll ask somebody, and, you know, Ms. Jones didn't want to do it, but they, you know, the other person, they ask them, they do it, you know, they get on the program. So it's kind of a friendly competition there, but it's always incentive with money is what we do, is pay them so much per patient that they add on to the SYNC program.
That's great. And Max, how big is your SYNC program? Can you remind me of that?
We have over 1,000 people on our SYNC program right now. And what we've started doing, Bree, is we've added a goal. Our limit, not our goal, but our limit is 125 patients a month. Since we started back up to get our SYNC program growing, we feel like if we add between 100 to 125 a month, that way we can get all of those people SYNC. And then the next month, we're adding another 100 or so that we want to add. And that way, it's not overwhelming my technician that does the running the labels or that handles the SYNC program. And it's not, we're not just bombarding her with a lot of changes. And so that's why I limited to 100 to 125 a month. We could literally, no telling how many they could get with the names that we do now, with the incentive that we're doing. But now what I've started doing, Bree, when we first started the program 4 years ago, I let every clerk kind of compete to add names. And now what I'm doing is I'm selective. I've got a couple of girls that I put back in a back room that goes over the charts and let them, and they share, and the incentive is what they do when they add the names to the SYNC program.
Thanks for sharing, Max. Can you guys talk about a time, you know, how do you deal with bringing along stragglers? Has there been a situation where someone just didn't accommodate some of the new changes that you were trying to make? Can you talk a little bit about how you would handle or how you have handled that situation?
Yeah, we had a situation just a couple months ago. We were trying to implement a new ordering system, and the team pretty much felt like the order system that we had was fine, and so they were kind of surprised, and I was like, hey, we're going to try a new one because I think it will help us be more efficient. So how we implemented it was I said, will you guys be willing to try it out for 2 weeks? If it doesn't work after 2 weeks, you know, we won't do it. So everyone agreed they'd give it a two-week try. After 2 weeks, everyone really liked it, except for one of my technicians. And she's a really sharp technician, and so I wanted to hear what her feedback was. And so we went and talked, and she told me all the shortcomings of this new system that we had, and she was completely correct. These were all shortcomings of the system. So then I just had to ask the question or redirect where her focus was, and I said, the goal was to make your guys' job doing the order every night more efficient. Do you feel like you're more efficient today than you were 2 weeks ago when doing the order? And so then she kind of stopped and thought about it, and she was like, yeah, we actually are. And so it was a really important lesson for us because sometimes when you try to do changes, people, they want the perfect change, and sometimes you just can't do the perfect thing, so it helps to just be reminded that if you're taking baby steps towards the right direction, then it's still an okay change.
Yep. What about you, Max?
We do the same thing. We are on a team effort here, and it's I'm going to use the technicians as an example here. And the technicians all have a major role in our workflow. And if we make a change, and if you have a straggler, it's kind of like the technicians doing the bad work for you. They're pushing the straggler. Say, hey, we got to keep up and go and encourage it. Then we do like to talk to them why they don't like it, but it's a change of habit, and we don't like to change the habit a lot. But once they see that it's better for everybody, the total workflow, then they agree to get into the program and work like a team. But most of the time, it's just because they're looking at it as an individual dislike than it is a team effort that it's a win.
Is there anything that springs to your mind that, you know, yeah, had a huge challenge with the staff, and how did you deal with it? Have you ever had to just really say, you know, have you ever had to just draw a line around something? I know it sounds like you've got really good patterns for handling situations, but is there something that springs to your mind that was a challenge that you solved? I mean, Rebecca, I think you addressed with the ordering system change. That's a fabulous way to do it. Anything that you can think of else that you had to handle a situation where you just had too much of a challenge with someone?
That's a good question. Let me think. Does one come to your mind?
So, what kind of challenge are you thinking of? Like a major challenge or one? Because just this last week, we had a lot of our technicians were getting kind of frustrated because we delegated a task to a clerk to put the order away, and she was taking a really long time to do it, and so there was underperformance, and we basically had to get back with the clerk and just revisit what the goal was and give her a target to shoot for as far as the time to put the order away. And then Rebecca actually went and side-by-side with her, showed her how to do it. And then ever since then, she's been able to meet that standard. So sometimes it's just a matter of getting back to communicating what it is we're trying to accomplish and training them, because sometimes we don't train them enough and we need to give them more training. That's most often the common cause of underperformance or them not meeting a standard or having that challenge is because they need to be retrained and reminded.
And the role that you all put on training when you're getting into anything sounds like it's pretty strong. So that's generally, is that a strong way that you address, you know, those gaps, you know, putting a specific training programs into work, training opportunities?
Yeah, always. Usually when there's an issue in the pharmacy, the very first thing we think of, well, we normally think, was there a miscommunication? But second was there a training error? Did we train them to reach this goal? And that's how we address it. When we go back there, when I'm telling people changes need to be made, I say, this is a training issue, and here's how I want you to do it. Or I didn't train you on this at all, but here's the steps that we're going to implement. Let's try it. So training is so important. At least we found that we can solve 95% of the problems with training.
Have you all ever used any outside training, any like CE programs or vendor programs or anything of that nature to indoctrinate staff to a change, or just sort of internal training?
We'll bring people in to help train with things that we're not real comfortable with. Like recently had one of the drug reps come in to explain how a drug worked and kind of just to get people familiar with that type of stuff. Or we brought an expert like Gabe in to give us feedback on front-end stuff that we then now implement and share with the staff of what we need to do better, because we recognize that we're not experts in everything, and that definitely helps to bring people in. And I think it's something that we could probably implement more, bringing people in to help train. For example, answering phone calls, you know, just having scripts and dialogues on how to do that. I'm sure there's a better way to do it than we're currently doing it, and there's people out there that have that figured out. So I think that's a great strategy that we probably don't use enough.
Yeah, I really like that question. It just made me start thinking of, like, who else can we reach out to and do? We do a lot of internal training. For example, we have one technician that is fabulous at phone calls, and so our phone calls are recorded. And so what we'll do is we'll listen to some of her phone calls, and then we'll have the rest of the staff listen in as well so they can learn just words that she uses, like my pleasure, or do you mind if I put you on hold, just how she phrases stuff. She's very tactful and does a great job. And so we try to do that internal training in our quarterly meetings. But, yeah, that was a great question. I'm glad you asked it.
That, as I say, that probably makes her feel like that's an honor to be used as an example to the rest of the staff. Max, what training challenges do you come up against, or how do you feel about the question?
Well, I think what we run into a lot of times, and I'm going back with the technicians and using them as examples because they have so many duties through the day, is probably when they get frustrated is lack of communications, because I have a chief tech that I go to every day and let her know some of the projects, if I have some projects that need to be done, or that she just knows different things that has to be done. And if one tech is taking a little bit longer putting up the order, and she gets frustrated, and it's because probably we're just not communicating very well. And if she would have told the tech, hey, you know, in a couple of hours we've got to do this and this, or this is on my schedule today to do this, this, and this, would you please hurry and put the order up as quick as you can where you can fill prescriptions, instead of, you know, not just being slow about it, but not as fast-paced as she normally would be. And I think this lack of communication between staff members is really some of the issues that we have here.
Great. Thanks so much for sharing. Max, what do you think, from your perspective, what's your number one rule for working with the pharmacy team to make any sort of change?
The main number one rule for us to make a change is, well, basically what we do here is we talk it over with the pharmacists as a group. And if we see that, then we go and get the involvement of the clerks and the techs. If it's more of a tech issue, then we, you know, we get the techs and just explain to them why we're doing it. You know, it's kind of holding their hand baby steps at a time. Let them know why we're doing it. We're trying to help them in the long run. Even though they may not see the whole picture, we try to explain the whole picture and let them know why we're doing it that way. It may be another step or two for them to have to do fill in a prescription, but in the long run, look at how much time you're saving us. If you're getting, you know, people saying they're not getting their medicine or didn't get enough of it or we miscounted, if we do this extra step, then we're saving a lot of extra work on the end trying to correct mistakes that really weren't made and are going back and looking at inventories and different things. It takes a lot of time over a little bit of training and just another step or two, whether you count narcotics twice and circle it and put your initials on the number. That answers it, and once the customers see that, and it's just limited customers that you're dealing with on that, with its narcotics, then they see, hey, they double count, and it saves a lot of our time, unnecessary work on our end that shows that that we were right to begin with.
Great. Thanks for sharing. Rebecca and Travis, what about for you guys? What's your number one role when you're working with the pharmacy team?
I think for us, it's know the end goal, know why we're implementing what we're implementing, and being able to share that vision with the staff. And you might, what we see is we have to revisit it over and over again, because sometimes we share it with them, then they get going, and they kind of forget, oh, why are we doing this again? So it's just keep reminding and helping them see that end goal, that vision of why we're adding this change, why we're doing what we're doing. So very similar to what Max is saying.
Yeah, very similar. Every single decision that gets made as far as like where the pharmacy is going, or we take into account what was the end goal. Is the end goal customer service? Is the end goal to make the staff ordering job easier? Like, just really drill that home, because if you can say what the end goal is and why you're doing it, they'll, at least in our experience, we've had great acceptance of implementing new programs with that.
Well, you guys tell me you have a fabulous way of working with the staff that you have on. And when it comes to bringing new people onto your team, what do you look for in a new hire? You know, is there a certain process you do to assess your candidates? Do you onboard a specific way? How do you handle bringing someone new onto what sounds like some very terrific teams you've got here?
We always love ideas in this area because we're still really new at it, so it'll be great to hear what Max has to say. As far as we go, is we do interviews, and a majority of our interviews come through people that already work at the pharmacy. They know somebody, and that's been our best onboarding strategy thus far. But when we interview, probably the most important thing that we look for is their open-mindedness to learn. Because we run our pharmacy very differently. It's not a reactive pharmacy. It's a very proactive pharmacy. And so our flow is different than what you'd see at a typical chain store pharmacy. So we need them to be open to learn new ideas. We look for good communication and then just kindness.
And then when we do bring them on, we, again, revisit that end goal and help them see where what we're trying to accomplish. And then we usually take one of our lead techs that will shadow them and help them the first couple weeks as they get integrated in the process and help answer questions. But, yeah, we're still trying to refine that process and make it better.
Fabulous. Max, what's been the secret of your success with bringing in new folks?
Well, there's not really a secret there. What I do is go out and try to get suggestions or try to get my employees to suggest somebody that they know that's looking for a job, and have them to come in and interview. Inside suggestions that my customers, you know, we have about 30 employees, and that's 30 more opportunities I have that, you know, instead of just me, then I have 30 more employees that help put their input. And normally, if they know they're going to come work with them, they're only going to suggest an employee that they know that's going to be really work well or that's a good worker. And it's happened to me on two or three times and most of the time the people that we hire are going to be middle-aged. It's hard for me to hire a young person that's in school or just out of school because you really don't know their work ethic. And it's kind of funny. We just had this happen not too long ago at the store. We had a girl that gotten out of high school and didn't want to go to college, and she actually applied for a job, and I didn't hire her. And then it was through a connection here at the store, through a part-time help, that Nancy said, Max, I really think Hannah would be a good employee. So I took a chance on her, and, you know, she's 19, but my gosh, she is one of the best clerks that we have, and friendly and, you know, extremely nice and pleasant on the phone, and just really got a good personality to meet or to wait on the customers as they come in. So it's basically just people, or and normally I go with employees because, well, like say we have 30, you can get a lot of suggestions, and then if it doesn't, then somebody will come up to me and say, hey, you know, I know that this lady's looking for a job, and I think she'll be good. If we're looking for somebody, then we'll, most of the time, we'll interview them and then go see how the interview goes. But it's not, it's really nothing that I do, and I don't have the ability to, you know, to find a good person just by an interview session. I don't have that ability to do strictly just a suggestion from the employees.
Thank you so much, you guys, for dealing with our questions and for being our first interview of this nature. Do you have any final comments that you would make on the importance of your staff to the business, or, you know, really how you view the role of your staff and how it makes your store more effective?
I would just say the staff or our team is the most important thing about our store. And so we put a lot of time into finding the right people and then training them, because they're an extension of you, and you want them to treat your customers with the utmost respect, and you want them to be able to solve any problem that those customers bring to you. So, yeah, just the training that goes along with that is so important. And do you have anything to add to that?
No, I agree wholeheartedly. They're so important.
Any comments, sir? Final words on the staff role?
The staff is 99% of what our drugstore is. I mean, I look at it, and people have to realize, I realize it as an owner, all the people that are coming in aren't coming to see me. And it takes, you know, sometimes you want to bite your tongue and say, oh, yes, they are. But no, they're not. And in reality, they're not, and I understand that. They're coming in to see our clerks because they see 100% of our customers every day. They wait on them 100% of the time, and they answer all the phone calls. Clerks are just as important as a pharmacist when it comes to bringing people into our store, and you have to have those, the right person out there with the right personality and the right kindness and telephone etiquette, and to get out and bring the customers in, because they're just as important as a pharmacist when it comes to bringing, not just bringing people in the store, but to keep them and let them, to get them to come back to the store. Because if a clerk is ugly to them and rude, they're not going to come back the second time. And it doesn't matter how nice the pharmacist is, clerk, I call it the firing line. They see 100% of them, and, you know, the pharmacist in the back may not talk to 30% of them. So you got to have that. The clerk is really, really important, and I think they don't get near the credit that they deserve, especially when you have an older ownership. The younger ownership, you know, I don't know. But I know, and I'm talking about my age and above, or 50 years old and above, they don't put enough importance in the clerks, because a lot of times you'll see in these drugstores they'll get young, immature people to work the front. Just, and all they're just going to wait on the customer, or just going to ring them out, or they're only going to answer the phone. Well, my gosh, that's the most important thing in the whole store, is customer service.
One final thing that just popped up, and I was listening to y'all because you've got some wonderful things that you shared with us. When it comes to your, you know, kind of your expectations and how your staff acts beyond the hiring process, do you have a developed policy and procedure that you give out to folks as they come in to kind of give them an expectation? I mean, do you work with a written or online document, I guess, these days? Max, you and I are in the same age group. Or is it basically just person-to-person, staff-to-staff training, or owner-to-staff training?
So we've been working on developing kind of a cheat sheet for them of, like, the most important things that they could focus on and learn at the beginning that's going to help them progress the fastest.
It's our 80-20 analysis.
Yeah.
So we teach them 20% of the, well, within the first week, as we highlight 20% of the responsibilities that they'll have that are going to give us 80% of the output that we need from them. And so we give them a little piece of paper, well, it's a couple pieces of paper, and it's just it's a cheat sheet. These are the most important things that you need to do. If you figure these out, you'll be able to run the pharmacy great. Everything else is just little specific things on top of that.
I think it's very overwhelming when you get into a new environment. You have so much to learn. A lot of times people don't know where they need to focus. So if you can help them narrow in on, here's the most important things. Once you get these under, you know, figured out, then we'll move on to the rest of the stuff. But this is what will help them progress the quickest. So that's one thing we've implemented.
Yeah, and we'll meet with the new hire for about an hour before they start. And that's when I'll give them these couple sheets of paper, and then I'll actually walk through it with them and explain what each process is, ask any questions, and that's how we open it up to them.
We're actually hiring a new person the next week or two, and we're going to give a notebook to her for her to write down things that were frustrating for her at the beginning or things that she struggled with to kind of help us as we bring more and more people on so that we're more prepared and we can narrow in even more on the things that people have a hard time when they start. So we'll let you know how that goes, if it works.
Yeah. And then after that, it's very much staff-to-staff training. So we pick one of our lead techs, and they'll just basically be that new hire's shadow. So they'll stand right behind them. They watch them do stuff, and then they ask questions like, oh, why did you do that? Or just walk me through that process. What was your thinking process when you did that? Just so I can understand where you're coming from, and here's how I would have done it different. And so it makes the person know that they always have someone to ask right there, and it really helps with the training we found to have a shadow.
Terrific. Matt?
What we do is more one-on-one at the interview process when we're talking with them, or if it's the second time when we call them back to offer them the job. It's just let them know how important they are to Conway Discount Drug, whether they're in the store, whether they're out eating at night, whether they're out shopping in the grocery store. They represent us, and people relate them to Conway Discount Drug. And so it's not just how you act in the store, it's how you present yourself in the public, too, that you're really carrying Conway Discount Drug. And it's really important that they know that they're part of the team. It's just the one-on-one of how important they are and why it's to be so nice on the phone and to try to learn everybody's name as fast as they can, to call them by name, because everybody loves to be called by their name. And then as far as the training goes with ringing people up or our workflow, then we'll get the lead clerk and let them shadow them, whether it's a clerk or a tech. But if it's a clerk that we hire, then they will shadow a clerk for 3 or 4 days and just kind of put them in the firing line, let them answer the phone. And, you know, once we show them how our workflow is, then we'll start letting them do it. And then we'll stay there for a couple of days. And, of course, we've got at least 3, if not 4 clerks every day, so they're not real far away from if they have a question that somebody's right next to them to answer the question.
Thank you guys so much. This has been terrific, just kind of getting insight into how you keep your teams going, get your programs embraced, and deal with kind of actually proactively with pushback. So thank you very much for your thoughts. We truly appreciate your participation on our maiden pod voyage here. And Bri, I have something to say.
We appreciate you. Thanks for being innovative in trying to develop tools for us as pharmacy owners to help us. I'm really grateful for that. So thank you, Sue and Barbara.
Yeah, the podcast is a great idea. We listen to lots of podcasts that are specifically done through business running, and we get so many insights. So this would be great to have it very specific to pharmacists and hear everybody's ideas. It's a great idea.
Terrific. Well, you guys have done great for our maiden voyage, so we're very happy. Thanks very much. And, well, we appreciate your time, and we're not going to take up any more of it. Thank you, and we'll sign off.
Okay. Thank you all.
Right.
I appreciate you.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye.